All right, golfers, good morning and welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful Saturday, September 21st, 2013. A little brisk this morning. It's going to be one of those rounds of golf where you're going to, you know, layer up in the beginning, and then I think you'll be peeling them off as the day goes on, probably warming up to about 70 degrees. Looking forward to talking to my guest today, Dottie Pepper, LPGA legend, two-time major champion, Solheim Cup stalwart, author of Bogey's Tees Off and Junior Golf Advocate, one of my favorites of all time. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dottie Pepper. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabiel has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to be joined now by LPGA legend Dottie Pepper. Dottie, how are you this morning?
I'm awake. We're up and at 'em in Saratoga.
A little chilly up there as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the wind has already picked up pretty significantly, and we're looking for a little rain later in the afternoon, overnight. But we could use it. It's been a pretty dry little stretch, so okay.
How are you settling? Your home in Saratoga is a move that you've made recently after resigning from NBC. How are you settling into your new life as you're working for the PGA of America, doing some limited time for ESPN on the course, and spending what seemed to be much-needed time more at home? How are you settling in there?
You know, there hasn't been much settling in because it's been so crazy between, you know, spending basically a month overseas for the Open Championships and then coming straight back to the Solheim Cup. I didn't really settle in until about a month ago, and I have to tell you, it's been awesome. It's so good. I'm getting to work on a couple of things in and around Saratoga that I've been wanting to do, things that kind of popped up. Now that I know things are happening and I'm actually home, that I can kind of throw my energy into and hopefully make a difference around here as well.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Was this something that had been, you know, we know the story that you just sort of decided to do this, but was it something that was eating at you, or was it something that just was finally you've had enough, and it was more like a shocker to a lot of people around you? How did this all come about?
Well, I had really decided that I wanted to do one more stint, and everybody was offered 3-year deals at NBC, and it was going to be originally 23 weeks, and I was going to take a few weeks away from the PGA Tour and do some of the better LPGA events. And I had all that picked out, and then the number got a lot bigger, and it just made me think about, and it wasn't the paycheck that got bigger. It was the number of weeks that was going to be on the road. And it just kind of made me think, like, this is the schedule I had when I started, and I basically came home to do laundry, change out a suitcase, take a sick dog, broken-hearted dog, to the vet, and then leave again.
Right.
And it was really no way to have a life. I mean, if that's all you want to do, then that was the perfect job. But that's not all I wanted to do. And thankfully, you know, last year, the last week of July, I was actually in the laundromat here in Saratoga because I had a bunch of family over and I was doing all the sheets at once. And the phone call came, and it's like an Indianapolis number. I'm like, what the heck is that? So I pick it up, and it was Ted Bishop, who at the time was the vice president of the PGA, and mm-hmm. He said, I know you turned us down a couple of years ago. You didn't feel like you had enough time to do this job right, but would you consider becoming the newest independent director and join us in November? And I thought, well, this is very timely because I'm toying with all of this stuff with PGA and NBC, and what do I really want to do? Do I want to spend more time at home? I'm just going to gut it out for 3 more years. What am I going to do? And I said, Ted, give me a month or so. Let me get through the Ryder Cup so I can let this season calm down and really kind of figure out where I want to go. And the more I thought about it, the more we just kind of figured out the next 3 or 4 years of what I really wanted to be doing, it made so much sense. And I'll be eternally grateful to Ted for that phone call because it made me make a decision.
On some level, do you feel like this is the first time now that you've been home since you left for Furman? I mean, I know you've been home before, and you know, but like you've lived a crazy lifestyle. People don't realize what it takes. But do you feel like you're home now since you left from Furman?
Yeah, for the very first time. I mean, really, I left home when I was 18 years old and headed south to begin my collegiate golf career and get my degree and do all of that. But it never really stopped. It just took on a different speed, pace, and direction. And this has been fabulous. I mean, my dog looked at me literally last night like, "You're still home?" I mean, really, I've been home for a month. I mean, we took off, you know, went to the Walker Cup and had a great time, but went just as a golf fan, which I've never been able to do. And that's the stuff that I was really longing to be able to do and missed.
What are you doing at home that is taking a lot of your time that you find almost cathartic?
Well, I'm a fanatical gardener, so that's definitely taking my time. I'm kind of putting the beds to bed for winter now and fertilizing everything for the last time and starting the cutback process. But we had something happen here in Saratoga last week that was a little bit alarming, and it's something that maybe is one of those things that came up by at the right time, too. We had nothing official for 9/11, nothing. And it was really passed off in a kind of a glancing blow by city officials, and I've jumped all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way our 9/11 memorial has basically, they fought so long to have this put in place, and it was just a year ago that it finally found its place in the city down in High Rock Park, and now it's been overrun by weeds.
Oh.
And so this has been my mission now for the last 10 days, and I've gotten a lot of city officials on board. The people who did the original landscaping did it all pro bono, and you know they're sick to their stomach to see it be it left the way it is now. But I can promise you that when 9/11 2014 comes to Saratoga Springs, it's going to be a different place, and in a respectful, quiet, serene way that should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that you stopped by Long Island for the Walker Cup as a spectator and not involved in the business of golf. How much do you love National Golf Links of America?
Well, I had never been to National until May, and my husband's been doing some archival work for them now for the last 3 years, and really going through all of the things that Stevie McDonald left and Laidlaw Purvis and all of the things that makes National what it is. And I didn't really have a great perspective of what he was doing until I went down there in May and then finally got to walk the golf course. But to go out there and see the Walker Cup come off as it did, just as a regular golf fan, I mean, I rode the shuttle bus every day. We had to go get tickets. It was the great normal experience. And I have to say that I hope National doesn't wait that long to host something like that again, because it was just, I think it was an amazing turnout. They had probably 1,500 people more per day than they thought they would have, which is partly because who would pass up an opportunity to be able to actually walk on a golf course like National and be that close to the matches? But it was also the intrigue of the Walker Cup and an international competition and match play and the way you just had access to everything that was going on. And it was a terrific experience. And again, I hope National doesn't wait that long to do something that cool again.
It's just one of those golf courses that you just don't get it until you really see it. And then it just exceeds all your expectations.
Yeah, I think, and people might think I'm crazy, but after being around St. Andrews the whole week of the Women's British Open and walking it multiple times and walking it backwards and trying to understand, I think National exceeds St. Andrews even.
Wow.
I know there are big elements of St. Andrews that were brought to National, but the piece of property is so spectacular, and it was just laid so beautifully on the property, and the flow is just so natural. And, you know, even knowing that the road was put in later and things changed and things were little edits here and there, but when you kind of look at where it is and the shot making that you have to play, and old style shot making, it makes you a better player just by thinking about how to play national.
Yeah, absolutely. It, you know, who's to say they can't have a Solheim Cup there? That would be a nice little match.
Wouldn't it be fabulous? Oh my gosh.
It would
be a wonderful fit.
Absolutely. My guest is Dottie Pepper here, and we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be discussing her work as an author, her work with the PGA of America. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia, talking with LPGA legend Dottie Pepper. Dottie, talk about your work specifically with the PGA of America and how you're trying to advance junior golf for them.
When I spoke with Ted specifically about making the decision to join the board, what can I do? I don't want to just be another person at that boardroom table and just taking up space. And he said, the things I need your help with are junior golf and getting more women to play the game. 25% of the golf market is women, and I don't know of a business that can succeed and ignore 25% of their potential market. So, and a lot of times when the women play, they drag the kids along, and vice versa. When the kids play, they drag mom along. So they really kind of come hand in hand for a lot of families, for a lot of golf communities, for a lot of golf clubs. So one of the cool things that we've gotten going so quickly is what will become a youth and family golf summit, and it'll be on Monday prior to the PGA show in Orlando, so you're talking mid-January. But it will be ways for PGA professionals, their staffs, to learn how to communicate with the kids, whether it be through diet and nutrition, whether it be the way kids process learning, ways to make golf fun and keep them coming back to the game. So it'll be an all-day with breakout sessions and experts coming in to speak about it, some motivational people, and just some ideas on how the PGA professional can help his bottom line while at the same time getting more kids, more families into the game and keep them into the game.
Have you found part of the problem that golf is really redefining itself? You know, the country club used to be a place where the family went, okay. And now with everybody working, and it's difficult to do that. You find that as part of being the difficulty of this task?
Absolutely, and we've created a lot of those problems ourselves by golf being so slow,
yep.
By it not being fun, by, you know, kind of putting kids in a straitjacket when they go to the golf course and instead of letting them have their own space where they can be kids and have, you know, I did a clinic down in Albany earlier this summer. We didn't hit golf balls. We hit tennis balls.
Mm-hmm.
And these were kids that had really never had a big touch of golf in their life, and they thought it was fantastic. And then when they put a golf ball in front of them, oh, I can get a ball airborne. It's really not that big of a deal. So there are ways that other sports have made things so much more friendly, so much more fun for the kids and their families, that golf just needs to wake up and identify. This is not rocket science. We just need to do more things that other sports have already done well. But you're breaking through a sometimes pretty crusty edge to get that done.
Mm-hmm. How do you get more women involved in golf? I've read a bunch of suggestions. One of them being, the least of all, just have more bathrooms on the golf course. I mean, you know, it's not as convenient for
yeah.
Right? It's pretty simple.
Right.
It's not as convenient for sure. Women as much as men. But
right.
Simple things like that. What are the types of things that you would like to do to capitalize or to increase that 25%?
Well, look, moms, women in general, everybody really, their time is absolutely marginalized. I mean, you have these little pockets when you can go do things that are recreational, you can have fun. So we need to make whatever program it is you're offering, whatever cool thing you're trying to make, very timely. And if it's an hour, if it's 2 hours, it doesn't need to be the 4 hour, 5 hour drawn out golf experience that counts for being touched by golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we need to start. But we also need to start with, like at our club, for example, they do drive-in movie night where the whole family comes and they hit balls at targets and then they put up this huge movie screen as dusk starts to settle over the driving range.
Yeah.
And there's a meal served for $10 or whatever from the club and everybody sits outside, watches the movie. Well, we've had a family night, we've all touched the golf, and what's there's not to win about it? But also things like if you're having a junior camp, well, how about cooking camp for mom in the club kitchen so they can kind of see where their family meals come from? The simple sort of things where mom's at the club bringing the kids there, so why don't we keep her there and offer something over the course of a couple of hours that gets her, maybe not even with a golf club in her hand, but something that gets her back to the club and then another program to let golf become part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest thing, like you said, though, it's time. I mean, golf just cannot be this all-day affair anymore. I mean, you should be able to run out and play 9 holes in an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, and come back and have time to pick up your kids from camp or do whatever
That's
it is
right.
that you need to do. You know, you know, like you said, and I think you hit the nail on the head, part of it is we did this to ourselves when we built these huge golf courses with these grand clubhouses that we expected to fill every weekend with weddings, and you know, that's not happening all the time, obviously.
Right.
And so what happens? So now you're robbing Peter to pay Paul because you've got this big overhead of this clubhouse, and now you're taking money from the golf budget when really all you need is a place to serve a few sandwiches and let it be about the golf.
Well, I think if you go to the UK and you see the experience that is golf over there, and then you come back here,
you kind of think.
Yeah, we screwed this up for ourselves.
Exactly.
We did a fine job of poisoning ourselves because there are so many things that aren't about the golf experience. And then it does become, as a golf ball goes further and people want to watch the great players play from all the way back, well, now we have to walk back there. It takes more time. We got players playing back there that have no business playing back there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's terrible.
So you know that round turns into 5 or 6 hours, and no one has the time for that. So, yeah, I think the simpler golf experience is definitely where it's at in this high-tech, high-go, all-the-time world that we live in now. As an example, we left our club in Glens Falls, which was 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
each way, 18 holes. I'm not going to drive 30 minutes to play 9 holes. I'm not going to drive 30 minutes to just go hit some balls.
Right.
And left there, and it was a Donald Ross course that I'd always wanted to be a member at since I was a kid, and I thought if I ever have the wherewithal to be a member at Glens Falls, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be a not good decision because of the time element.
Right.
And so we joined a 9-hole course in town. It's a mile and a half away. I can actually walk or ride my bike, and it is an hour and a half to play 9 holes, in, out, back home.
Yep.
And we've gotten so much more use out of the club.
Yeah, I right near my house a par three in Babylon. It's E. Donnelly Golf Course. It's a par three, all grass. And that's my little country club. I mean, I go there. It takes me, if there's, you know, I'm a fairly decent golfer. So if there's no one around or if it's fairly empty, I'll play there in like 45 minutes. And, you know, if I'm waiting a little longer, but it doesn't really, I'm swinging the club. I'm playing, you know, and it's mostly short game. So I mean, maybe the longest club is, maybe the longest shot might be 170 yards if that's it, if that into the wind. So it's got a little bit of everything. And so it basically takes care of everything I need for it to take care of. All right, so I'm not hitting driver or anything like that, but whatever. A swing is a swing. As long as you're swinging the club, that's more important than whether you go in there and hit 100 drivers at a driving range. You're playing shots, you're doing whatever, you're putting. And so, and to me, that's just as good as anything else.
That's exactly right. And I think, you know, the organizations, the powers that be, have kind of snubbed their nose at golf, the golf experience like that.
Yep.
And again, we've created our own poison because golf is golf. I don't care if you're playing, you know, we had a St. Patrick's Day tournament. We played on frozen ground. We played to double-sized holes. We had a blast.
Yeah.
And that's golf. It doesn't necessarily have to be the 72-hole stroke play that you see on television every weekend. That's different golf.
Yeah.
Golf as we know it, golf as the game needs to grow, is really everything but that. It's getting out to hit balls or play a short course. Go play three or four holes, whatever you have time for. I don't care. So why not? Here's another idea. Ted Bishop, the president of the PGA, and I were speaking about a couple of weeks ago. He wants to come up with, and he has a public facility south of Indianapolis, come up with a fee-based schedule that's really based on the time that you're out there. So if you only have an hour and a half and you played X number of holes, I'm going to charge you for that.
Right.
So that you're not saddled by a 9-hole fee, an 18-hole fee, or whatever it is. You pay for what you play.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, because it still counts as the golf experience. And the last thing we need to do is turn people away because they don't think they have enough time when they can play some.
Yeah, and getting back to your point about the stroke play and this, these USGA conditions is now you've basically turned off a bunch of people who now think that they're not good enough to play at all.
Right.
So they why bother? I mean, my buddy of mine, I was talking to a friend of mine, a colleague at work, and I said, you know, did you get a chance to play this summer? He's like, I stink, this, that, blah, blah, blah. I said, how many times do you practice? You know, you go to play golf. You're not joining the tour. You're not, you hang out with your buddies or your girlfriends or whatever. We'll have a drink afterwards or whatever the case may be. That's why you're going to play. You're not going to, you're not preparing for the senior tour. You're not, you know what I mean? So, and so we have distorted the image of that golf is a fun recreational thing to do.
That's right. And it doesn't need to be in this staid, buttoned-up environment all the time. That's what you see on television. But what we experience as golf at home is a blast. And sometimes what we see on television isn't really helping the game as we know it, as we should know it.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I want to take one more short break, and then when we come back, I want to talk. We'll talk a little more about this, and then I want to talk about your book, Bogey Tees Off. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is LPGA legend Dottie Pepper. Dottie, we're just talking about redefining golf and getting people to understand that it's a sport to be played and to have fun and to not take it so seriously. And you've done it in your own way on a children's level, writing Bogeys, Tees Off. Talk a little bit about that experience.
Well, it was a project that was, it wasn't polished and it wasn't finished. And many could probably say polished and finished now, but it was brought to me a little over 2 years ago by a fellow by the name of Scott Fuller, who turns out to now be my co-author. And he had this concept, this idea, this character. He was a range ball. His name is Bogey. So he's what people perceive as imperfect golf. But his goal was to play the PGA Tour. He wants to play professional golf. And along the way, teach people the life lessons of just about everything. The first volume is about being truthful, and Bogey figures out that he doesn't have to cover up his red stripe in order to play great golf. He can just be himself. He's the size of every golf ball. He can fly like any golf ball. He can get it done like every other kid. So that was the first lesson. And then we did a Christmas book last year, which in a very fun way talks about the real meaning of Christmas. And Bogey meeting Santa Ball at the bottom of their fireplace in their house, and to not blow a surprise. And it's been very, very fun working. But through the business side of it, it's always been a great experience. But to see the kids' faces when they kind of get what Bogey's about, and the fun way that they've learned the definitions of what golf is about, what a par is, what a bogey is, what a birdie is, in the back of the book, it's really fun. We've been to a number of schools to do book readings and been to first tee programs with the mascot, who was built by a company in Toronto. He is really cool. And it's been a great experience. It's been a lot of hard work, but it's been a great experience. And moving forward, we're hoping to get the third book out somewhere around the PGA Show in January. But a couple more things, little speed bumps to get by, including an educational program in Canada where they want to use Bogey in their schools. So part of the mission of making an education process, a golf process, a fun process for kids is really starting to come full circle.
One of my favorite parts of the book is you've left purposely some room for discussion. Talk a little bit about that. Whose idea was that? That, to me, is a home run.
That was something that Scott suggested, because what he talks about at home at night with his son, Walker. And Walker was 8 years old when this first came out, and it was sort of tailored that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what we learned in this book. What can you learn? What did Bogey learn? And that became something that was in the back of the book, not just for parents, but for if Bogey was used in a camp, if it was used by a grandparent, if it was by a mentor, PGA professional, whomever it was, to not just make it about golf, but to make it about things that you learn because of what you saw Bogey go through.
Fantastic stuff. I want to thank you so much. Unfortunately, a half hour goes by so fast when you're having fun. But you do all this prep work and then it's boom, it's over. But I can't thank you enough for joining the program today. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for the reach out. That was fun.
All right. Thank you very much, Dottie.
Okay.
Take care. All right, folks, you can get, and on my website, scoreshowonpar.com, you can get the book, Bogey Tees Off. There's a link there. It's fantastic children's book. I think you'll enjoy it very much. Thanks again to Dottie Pepper for joining me this morning. This doesn't get any better than Dottie Pepper. So hopefully you'll get a chance to tee it up this morning and look out for maybe some rain later on. We'll see. Make sure you just get a chance to tee it up and enjoy this great game of golf. Remember, it's fun. Have a great weekend.